Amen. You guys can have a seat. Hey, we are continuing our series called How to Open Your Bible and Not Just Point to a Random Verse. It's the longest series title we have. It's my favorite series title. But the goal is right there in the title, right? That you guys would know as you're going to get in God's Word and see how good He is and how great it is to follow Him, that you're not overwhelmed, that you're not confused, that you don't know. You're not like, man, I don't even know where to start. So I guess I'm just going to open my Bible and point to some random verse that I have no idea what it means and just see if it has anything for me. That's not the most effective way to study God's Word. And so that's what we're trying to teach you. Last week, this week, and then here in a couple weeks, we will continue that series. You'll talk about it in small group this Wednesday. You guys should all go grab curriculum on the way out. We have it printed out for you that we want you to work on up leading to small group if you're in a small group. And if you're not, it'll still be a great resource for you. And so today what we're going to do is talk through some tips on, man, how can I make it more effective with things like time and place and plan? And then the method that we learned last week, how to study God's Word, we're all going to practice that together. We're all going to do kind of a devotional time in God's Word, a time studying God's Word together. So here to give us some of her tricks and some of the way that that's played out in her own life, some things she's learned, as well as to kind of write and lead us as we all do this study together, is one of our residents this year, Oakley Winter. So as she comes up here, I'm going to pray for this morning that we would learn something. God, I pray that you would teach us something this morning. Teach us how to more effectively study your word, because you have chosen your word to reveal yourself to us. And so can we just see how good it is to follow you, how great you are to follow, how worthy you are. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Like you said, my name is Oakley, in case I haven't got a chance to meet all of you in this room yet. And who was here last week when we first introed this series and talked about observation, interpretation, and application? Show of hands. Absolutely. So a few of you, and if you weren't here, totally fine. What we're going to do is a continuation of that this week. And so last week we talked about, and for me, I know as a junior high student, I did not know how to read God's word. I was a new believer. I knew the Bible was a thing. I knew that it was something that I should read, but I had no idea how to open it and study it. And so last week we introed this time together where we're talking about how to observe God's word, how to interpret what the Bible is actually saying when it's really confusing, and how to apply that to our lives. And so this week, as we're diving in, we're going to talk a little bit more about the practical side of things and how we do that. And so the three things we're going to dive into today are finding a time that works best for you to open God's word, finding the place that you feel the most comfortable and can make a habit to go to read scripture, and then also having a plan when you open the Bible. First off, though, I want to look at from 2 Timothy, chapter 3, 16 and 17. This says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the reason we even bring that up and talk about it today in our lesson to kind of intro and start us off is, if we do not understand why studying scripture is important, we're not going to do it. I know for me, if I don't see a purpose or why something is important, it's not going to be something that I'm going to make a daily habit for sure. And so to see here that why we can even read scripture is, one, it's going to help us teach. It's going to have us be equipped. It'll help us correct our own lives and also lovingly correct our friends and help them as we're trying to do this whole Christian walk together. But then ultimately, guys, through the Bible, we're seeing the story of salvation. We see as we read scripture the story of God sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, raise again, defeating death once and for all, and therefore making right the fractured relationship that we had with God, so therefore we can spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. And so all scripture does is point us back to Jesus and also help us as we're here on earth trying to learn what God would have us do as believers. And so to kind of, again, just land on our first point for the day, we're going to talk about, as we're figuring out how to study scripture, what is a good time to do that? So first point number one is time. Choosing a time that you feel the most mentally aware. Who in here is a morning person, loves mornings, loves getting up? Very few of us. That's okay. I wasn't either when I was in your shoes. But I will say that sometimes that's going to be the best time that we have to open up God's word. If your day gets crazy and you're heading off to school and you have soccer practice and then you have band practice after that and you're coming home and you're eating dinner and having homework and then you're going to bed by, I'm probably way too late, then it's going to be hard to fit that in during the course of your day once it gets started. And so for some people, it's going to be really, it's going to be, I guess, a lot more beneficial for you to get up in the morning before you get to school, open God's word, even if it's on the way to school, in the car, as you're eating breakfast. It's going to be good to have a time set and make that a habit. Just like when you go to the bathroom in the morning, you know you're going to probably brush your teeth before school, or you should. But a lot of times we know, like, when we're going to that place, that's the time that we're going to be doing that. For some of us, it's going to be easier to open it up whenever we get back home from school and we have that period in the afternoon where we have some free time and, you know, we're just getting back in from school, either practice or, you know, whatever that looks like. And we have a pocket of time that we can open God's word. And for some of us still, it's going to be better in the evenings. I will say, look at your schedule, figure out a time that you can make a habit to daily, you know, when you're getting up at 7 a.m., you're going to open God's word. It's going to be easier to be disciplined in that way. And also it's going to help us eliminate the excuse of, I don't have time. Because I know I've been there, guys. I know your lives are crazy and you're doing a million and one things. I talk to my small group girls and they're always running around like crazy and they have activities and so many things going on. But we cannot allow I don't have time to be an excuse anymore. For me, I know in my own life, I recognize I was spending a lot of time on my social media. That was something for me that was really hard to break of. But in order to create more space in my life to open God's word, I had to get rid of social media completely in my life, eliminate the apps and delete them off my phone. And then when I sat down to open up the Bible, I had to just put my phone somewhere else because I knew that it was going to distract me. And so figure out what is it that maybe you're creating to be a priority over God's word. And really ask yourself, do I want to read God's word? Is that a priority in my life? And if it's not, bring that to your small group leader. Ask them to help you figure out a time and a place and plan that we're talking about today. But if there are things you can do to eliminate those distractions, do that. Find that time. Make it a habit daily. Next is going to be, we're going to have a place. And for me, when I started studying to prepare for talking to you guys, I was kind of convicted by this because I don't have a set place. I know that Sydney Coode, some of you know her. She works on staff for Wake. And she has a chair in her house that she goes and sits in. And she knows when she goes there, she's opening God's word. I know my mom kind of created a space in her closet at our house where it just kind of seems random. But a space in her closet where she would go and she would sit and open God's word. And that was just kind of where she knew she was going to have her time. And so for me, I've been kind of trying to figure out this past week, you know, where can I go routinely that I can open God's word, that it's free of distractions. I know some of you maybe have siblings or things going on at home that are going to make it hard if you're sitting in the living room to open your Bible. And so maybe sneak away to your bedroom and sit on the floor, or sit in a chair, or sit at your desk. Having a place where you want to open up your Bible is going to help you, again, with the time aspect, make it something that you're doing much more often and help you know, I'm going to go here at this time to this place, and I'm going to study. And it will help you, I promise, make a habit. And lastly, the third tip to just help with that is having a plan. For me, this was always the hardest thing because I was the definition of our sermon series where I would just open my Bible and I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to figure out where I'm going to read by opening it up and hoping for the best. And oftentimes I would just get even more confused if I saw a string of names or it was about the law and I just didn't know what I was reading. And the book or the Bible really is a book that is a story from beginning to end of God's plan for his creation and salvation. And we see Jesus entering in and there's lots of drama and there's war and there's romance. So it is an exciting story, but if you don't know where to start, it's very confusing. And so the cool thing about our day and age and our generation is that we do have so many resources available for us to help us figure out what's a plan that we can follow to read scripture. I will say if you're just kind of old fashioned and just want to open up the Bible, a good place to start is going to be the Gospels. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, are going to be really, really good to read because they're all about the story of Jesus. And so it's talking about our Savior, and you're going to get to go through the life of Jesus when he lived on earth. And I would say stick with a book of the Bible until you finish it. And so it can be you go through the book in a couple of months or you're kind of quick and you're going through it in a week. But whatever you do, I would say start with a book, start with that text, and then work through it at your own pace. But finish that book in its entirety. So if you're starting in the book of John, go all the way through John and read it. There are going to be some other things, such as Bible Project is a really cool thing actually on YouTube. Any YouTubers in the room? And it has actually a video on YouTube from like Bible Project themselves that they put together for each book of the Bible. And so we'll actually watch an intro in just a little bit for one book. But they put together a video about each book of the Bible telling you who wrote it, what it's about, and what its purpose is. And so it really helps you understand what is God saying and what can I get from reading this book. Some others are going to be YouVersion. There's going to be some different commentaries online. And actually, right now is probably a good time to have you go ahead and pick up the sheet from underneath your seat. And if you don't have one, there is some in the back that we can grab for you guys, or you can just reach to a seat near you. And so we'll talk about the front page here in a second, but on the back, if you flip it over, we've given you some examples of some things you can look at for some plans on how to read scripture, to help you understand scripture, and to help you break it down so that it can become a discipline in your life and it can become easier to understand. So anyways, now that we have talked about having a time, having a place, having a plan to read scripture, which all of these I've implemented in my own life that have really helped me make this a more a daily habit and also helped me fall more in love with God's word that he's given me, I would love to go through a passage with you all, which, you know, you can flip it back over on the front side if you were looking at the resources on the back. And as you can see, it is 1 Thessalonians 1. And so we're actually going to practice observation, interpretation, and application together by reading this passage. And then this is when I'll need you guys to participate with me and get some crowd participation and answers from y'all. So we will go ahead and I'm going to read it to you guys, and then we'll start with observation. So as we're reading, kind of be observing, what are some words that stick out to you guys? What are some words maybe that are repeated, words you don't understand, or commonly used phrases? So we're getting into it, and we'll start in verse 1 of chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. It says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So, all that's kind of big, and to help us understand what it's talking about, referring back to Bible Project that I had talked to you guys about earlier, we're going to watch an intro video about 1 Thessalonians. So watch this, figure out what it's saying, and then we will talk about it afterwards. Awesome. So that's, again, just the intro part. The whole video is probably about 7 minutes long, and it walks you through the whole book of 1 Thessalonians, kind of a broad overview. And so after watching that video and reading the first chunk of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, what do we see about who is writing this letter? Does anyone know? Paul, absolutely. So we see, even at the top of this chapter, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. So we have mainly Paul, and then the other two that are supplementary are writing this letter. To who is he writing this letter to? Yeah, the people in Thessalonica. And so it referenced it in the video, but do you guys remember what we read last week, for those of you that were there, that was referenced in the video? It was a different book of the Bible. Anyone saw that? Catch on? Acts. Yes. So Acts 17 is a passage we went over last week, and it actually talks about Paul and Silas being in Thessalonica. And so when they went there, they were preaching the gospel. A lot of people believed, but then the Jewish people that didn't believe and that were angry at Paul chased him out of the town, and they began to persecute the Christians there. And so why this letter was written is that Paul and Silas and Timothy are wanting to encourage their brothers in Thessalonica, brothers and sisters in the faith, because Timothy went saw that they were still following Jesus mightily, and they were following him with all of their heart, and they were pushing through all the persecution that they were facing. And so this letter really is a letter of encouragement. And we see that right from the beginning. Even the title, it says the Thessalonians' faith and example. So we know that he is writing in Paul to the Thessalonicas, really to encourage them. And so in your observation section, as we're talking, what are some other observations that you made about this text in particular? Like I said, common words, phrases, maybe things you don't understand. What do you think that, or what are some examples of things you're observing? Absolutely. Became imitators of them. That's a good one. So we can write that down in our observation section, that they became imitators of both Paul and then, and who else does it say they became imitators of? The Lord. Absolutely. What else does it say about the believers there in the church? They're what now? Loved by God? Absolutely. If you're a believer in their church and you're being persecuted, wouldn't you want to be reminded that I'm loved by God, even though it's really hard right now? And that's what Paul is saying is, you're loved by God, keep fighting the good fight. So some that I saw in the text, really right off the bat in verses 2 and 3, it's saying, to kind of describing these believers there, it says that they, let me make sure that I'm on the right thing here, that they are working in faith, laboring in love, and being steadfastness in their hope in their Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verse 3, we see those three things there. They're working out their faith, they're laboring in love, and they're continuing to be steadfast in the hope that they have in God. As we continue throughout the text, we see that, again, in verse 6, they became imitators of Paul and of the Lord. They were an example to all other believers in Macedonia. We see it in the next verse down. And another thing that I saw in verse 9 and 10 was that they turned to God from idols and began to serve the living and true God, awaiting for his son to return from heaven. And so all of these things in a short chapter are things we can observe about what Paul was writing to them to encourage them in, that Timothy had reported back and said, you have become imitators. You are remaining steadfast in the hope you have in God. You have turned away from idols that the other people in Thessalonica are worshiping, and you have now found faith in the one true almighty living King. What are some other things we can observe in verse 2 and the beginning of verse 3 that give us a little bit, that give us some more context of who Paul is and what he was doing for the people as he was writing them this letter? Praying for them, giving thanks to them. So we'll circle that in blue. This is what something that Paul is getting to do for them is giving thanks to God always, constantly mentioning them in his prayers and remembering them. And so not only is he pointing out specific things that they are doing that he wants to encourage them in, but he's saying, I remember you. I am praying for you. I'm on your team. So guys, as you study scripture, these are some things that you can be observing about text that are going to help you understand it more of, okay, what's actually going on here? And, you know, if we hadn't read Acts 17 last week, maybe we'd be a little bit lost. And so we can look back at that and see, oh, they're being persecuted and they're new believers. And Paul was there, but he's gone. And so he's writing to encourage them. And so that's kind of an example of what observation can look like. So as we move into interpretation, another way we can say interpretation or what that section looks like is, so what? So we've observed all of these things, and so we can ask ourselves the question, so what? What is God saying? What is the author trying to say to us? What are things that we can pick up on that are reoccurring themes throughout this text? And so does anyone have an idea of maybe what God could be trying to teach us, or what the author is trying to teach us about how we interact with each other as believers? That's really good. So for those in the back that maybe didn't hear kind of what he was talking about, and what's your name?
Eduardo.
Eduardo was talking about when we come together as a body of believers and encourage one another, we're unified and we can know and have eternal perspective that even if things are hard right now, God's promised that his son is coming back, and we can hope in the salvation we've received from Jesus Christ. That's an awesome answer. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Yeah. Absolutely. It says brothers once hearing. What he was saying is when your brother's in Christ, and it says that in verse, I don't exactly know what verse that is, but it says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And so this man's point over here was, when we're brothers in Christ, we know that we can band together, that we're loved by God. And a commentary I actually read on this whole book, 1 Thessalonians, is that Paul uses the word brothers, I think it's 15 times. And so he's saying, we are unified as a body of believers. And even though I am not with you, know that I am laboring in love with you and I care for you. Keep fighting the good fight because it is worth it. And so kind of some points we can pull for interpreting this passage of scripture, and you can write these down if you'd want, and really any others you'd have to add, is we're brothers in Christ, unified in faith. We are called to pray for one another whenever we are facing persecution, called to encourage one another when we're facing persecution. And we're all working together. We're all on the same team, unified under our Father and Jesus Christ's name. Anyone else have anything to add for interpretation? Anything else they got that was different? Yeah, so I think the three things really we can pull from interpretation, to kind of sum them up in short phrases, is a work of faith, which he mentions again in verse 3, our labor of love, serving God and others out of love, and then steadfast in hope, that we know we are all on the same team and we can have eternal perspective, knowing that while it might be hard here temporarily, God promises eternity when we believe in his Son, and we know that it will not be like this for forever. And so lastly, when we go to the application section, we can ask ourselves the question, well, now what? So we've observed the text. We've seen what it says. We've asked ourselves, okay, so it says this. So what? How do we interpret what the author is saying? What's God trying to tell us? And when we move to the application section, we can ask ourselves, what can I apply out of this text in my life to learn more about the Lord and to know how to live a life better as an example for other believers in my faith? And so does anyone have any application that they can draw from this text that they've seen as we've been reading and studying it? I think something that I know I can apply in my life, who would say that they've gone through something that's kind of challenging before? I would say pretty much all of us, to different degrees, and that looks different for everyone, but for me, we've all gone through something challenging, and so we can relate in a sense to, okay, these people were facing really hard times, and they were facing hard times for the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ. But all of us have, either for the sake of Jesus Christ or maybe just consequence of sin in our lives, things maybe haven't always gone as we'd expected or planned. And so something I can apply and take out of this text is we can be encouraged, and we can know that, like we kind of talked about in the interpretation section, our affliction will not be for forever. Another thing that we can apply is that we are called, and kind of it talks about, we haven't touched on it yet, but the last two verses, 9 and 10, it says that these people turned from idols to serve the living God. And so something we can read in this text and maybe apply in our lives is, what are things that have maybe become idols in our lives that are distracting us from fully serving the Lord? And how can I turn from that and serve God more wholeheartedly, knowing that these idols are not going to be worth my time and my energy and are not going to provide lasting fulfillment, but only God will? And the people in Thessalonica had to give up a lot to turn away from their idols to follow the Lord, because that meant that they were going to be persecuted and that meant that they were going to be killed for their faith. So that is just kind of a very quick and broad example of how we can, as you're reading scripture, observing, interpreting, and applying it to our lives. It's going to look different for every type of scripture or every type of passage that you read out of scripture. But this is just one example of how we can look at the text, see what it's saying, and then also be able to apply that to what we're going through in our lives even now. Scripture is the only body of text that really, like, you can look at, was written thousands of years ago and yet still is applicable today in our lives. And so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to pray out. Father God, I thank you for giving us your word that we see is living and active. It is useful for equipping each believer and showing us more of who you are. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and be raised again so that we can have fellowship with you and fellowship with each other. And we know that what we may be going through now and the trials that we face, Lord, will not last for forever. God, that you promise us something that's so much greater. And so I pray that as we are reading scripture throughout this week, Lord, that we would know through your wisdom and discernment that you provide what it says to us, that it would be made simple in our minds so that we can read it and really let it take root in our hearts and change the way that we live, God, because we know that the way in which we live that is following you is more full and more joyful than anything this world has to offer. God, we love you and we're thankful again. Amen.